We're studying more about Sodom. And I want to start out tonight by... The only way that you can imagine yourself to be as a God is to know that you have the capacity to define your own set of laws. If you, under a legal term, you have to be a God to define what is right and wrong. Now that doesn't mean anything to you, because you do it so much. But the other definition of being as a God is one who can define his own legal system. Now all of you have defined your own legal systems. You've copied. You've taken a little bit from here. You've taken a little bit from there. But you have decided for yourself what's fair for you. You understand that?
Yes.
And you think it's right, and you get it's so right that you'll kill, and if somebody violates your sense of right and wrong, your sensibility. Do you understand that? Does everybody understand that? Right. What I want you to see is that God doesn't care what your ideas of law are. God doesn't care what man's idea of the legal system is. God cares what God's idea of the legal system is. Can you? I mean, this sounds really trite, but it's extremely important. Now, the greatest, for instance, and we're going to study what we're going to study tonight before we get into Sodom, is the death penalty, because we got to see why God wiped out Sodom. We have to see, and you have to be able to empathize, what is a death penalty? What offense constitutes death from God's law? Not from yours.
Yeah.
Are you getting a handle on that?
Yeah.
Nobody from now on cares what you think is right. To confess is what a believer does. A believer confesses, it means he speaks the same thing as God. Homologio. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to confess my sin. It means you speak and think the same thing that God does. Well, it's time that you begin to think and speak the same thing that God does with regard to what the law is. Now, nobody cares what you feel about it. You got that? God doesn't care whether you think the law is right or fair or just. He doesn't care whether it affects you one way or another. It's the law. Am I communicating at all? Okay, well, that's the best way I know to communicate what God's law is to describe to you what offenses constitute the death penalty, or what offenses have as their punishment the death penalty. You won't believe it. I'm going to start backwards. The first one, backwards, that constitutes, well, I mean backwards from the way they are listed. The first one for a death penalty is stubbornness. If you're stubborn, according to God's law, you might as well have committed mass murder. Can you get a handle of that? What does stubbornness mean?
Is that like
stiff neck?
Taking a stand, kind of, but stubbornness, not giving up, not willing to give up any position.
Right. Well, a great one is stubbornness is a the best way I can describe stubbornness to you right now tonight is the deliberate refusal of joy. Nobody be dumb enough to deliberately refuse joy. Oh yes, you do. You deliberately refuse joy because you choose to remain in a mental state that gives you life. You understand me? That is the death penalty, that offense. There's no mercy involved. There's no negotiating about it. You have no defense attorney if you commit it. If you're stubborn, if you commit that act, you are punished by death. Clear? Second one is rebellion. Now, we're not going to go, I'm not going to teach in each one of these, because obviously we'd be here for 43 years.
That was clear.
Everybody understand what rebellion is? Death penalty. Not something to be laugh about, not say, well, I'm just rebellious by nature. You understand me? This is just the way I am. If that's just the way you are, you're dead meat. Next one is gluttony. Death penalty for gluttony. Anybody that ate four chests of chicken is gluttonous. Now, gluttony does not have to do with the amount of food. You got to hear that. Gluttony has to do with special food. You understand? Does everybody understand that?
Special food.
As in, you'll only eat certain things certain ways.
Oh. Or 4 pieces of chicken.
Yeah,
but on the other hand, vegetables. Some people will let all their friends have all the carrots and all the pizza.
Nice try, Harry. Fourth one, drunkenness. It's not a deliberate pattern of drunkenness over a long period of time. It's you're drunk once, you're dead.
That's so weird. What about tipsy?
How many times can they kill you for that?
What about Purim?
Huh?
What about Purim?
That's the point. Purim, the point of Purim is to show you that all of you are subject to the death penalty. Yeah. Because you should be able to be in that state by one sip of wine.
What's Purim? Oh.
It's the feast.
Is
to drink sufficient wine so that you no longer know the difference between blessed be Haman or cursed be Mordecai, which means you no longer distinguish for yourself the difference between right and wrong.
You
live in dependence.
Yeah.
You just demonstrated it.
What?
Blessed be Haman.
Oh, yeah.
The death penalty, I guess I'm just sort of lying on the board, that means
your death by four methods. You're either stoned to death, you're strangled to death, you're buried to death, or you're beheaded. I mean, death penalty means you are literally, it's like the electric chair. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, this is wow. You don't normally think about stuff like this, right? Because this isn't your laws. Okay, next one. A false dream. A false dream or a false vision. Death.
Just having one or believing it?
Having one. Next one. Backsliding. What is the Baptist definition?
Backsliding is you were good, but then you slid back and you were bad.
Now you're doing your own evil stuff again.
You were evil and you got good.
Okay.
And then you
got how about backsliding meaning that I'm back concerned with myself again? I was abandoned, but now I think about myself again.
Okay.
Death penalty. Got it? Next one. False prophecy.
Where's that?
Saying that something's going to happen and it doesn't.
Is that like a dream?
No.
That's why those wise men were sick.
Everybody, every prophet in here
was subject to
it.
Well, I mean, but for us.
Saying something that's going to happen and it doesn't. Saying something, you prophesy, but it's manipulated.
Right. Okay.
Okay? Next one. Failure to purify yourself before worship. Next one. Gathering firewood on the Sabbath.
Tom.
Next one.
What does that mean?
Doing any kind of labor at all whatsoever on the Sabbath day.
That doesn't just mean gathering wood or hewing a log. It means, you know.
Okay, let me give you that. I don't know how to describe this one. Is this boring you?
No.
said the person did the stuff.
Hmm?
I mean, when is it executed?
It's executed by the Sanhedrin.
Yeah, somebody says, so-and-so was doing this.
There has to be three witnesses.
Another witness says, yeah, I found it too, and another witness says, yeah, that's right.
Listen to this one. The soul that doeth anything presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger or the same, reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among the people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. Now what does it mean? What is a presumptuous? Soul that doeth anything presumptuously.
To me, you rise above the place where you are. You make a decision as a captain that the major should make, or you make a decision as a general that only the president should make.
Amen. Failure to keep the Passover correctly. Death penalty. Blasphemy. Death penalty. Doing any work on the Day of Atonement. Blasphemy. Any kind of sacrilege is blasphemy. I mean, is a death penalty. Any kind of whoredom, whether you're the whoremonger or the whoree, or the participator with the whore.
And this is, or if you just like to watch.
This is about then, right?
It's about always. These are eternal laws. If you accept him, if you accept him fully, if you give up the right to yourself, then he fulfilled all of this. If you keep the right to yourself one instance, then you're subject to all of them. If you're a respecter of persons, if you accept one, if you take one thing of the law and say, I need, then you have to do them all. If you abandon yourself, then he fulfilled it all. But you can abandon yourself without picking up the cross. The cross is, I accept my death penalty for all of us.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. That's the way you have to come to it. You have to say, yeah, I've done that, and I'm guilty.
Yeah, I knew that, but I guess I was watching that Jesus of Nazareth and the part where, you know, they were going to stone the woman, and then he said that the judgment part of it too.
I hate to tell you this, but that's not in the Bible.
It's
not? No, he told you the Bible, so he marked it all out.
Oh, really?
That was added by a scribe at Ephesus in the year 230. John 7:52 to 8:12. But that's all right. Okay. To have intercourse of any kind with a menstruating woman is the death of the baby. Any kind.
Why that one?
Because of it violates the type. Everything is a type. Forget anything that you think about.
Right.
Okay.
Now I'm not thinking about anything.
Okay.
Menstruating women are unclean, for one thing.
By definition, menstruating women are unclean, according to the law.
They have to go away to another
house. Further, there can be no birth from that act.
There can be no birth from the act of menses.
Oh, okay.
There can be no birth. That's why, during that period of time, they're unclean. Because spiritually, the birth is the only reason to be here. Okay. Any kind of adultery. Spiritualism of any kind. And that just means any even casual interest in a Ouija board or astrology, or the consecration of a child to an idol is a death penalty. The eating the sacrifice at the wrong time, death penalty. Incest, death penalty. Eating blood, death penalty. Killing the sacrifice at a place other than the door of the tabernacle, death penalty. Eating the fat of the sacrifice, death penalty. Eating the flesh of the peace offering, when you're unclean. Death penalty. Working, doing any kind of work on the Sabbath, death penalty. Defiling the Sabbath, death penalty. Making the anointing, making the holy perfume, the anointing, death penalty. Putting any holy oil on strangers, death penalty. Making the holy anointing oil, death penalty. You try to make it. You try to duplicate it. Idolatry of any kind, death penalty. Bestiality, death penalty. Witchcraft, death penalty. Being negligent with an animal that you own, death penalty. A dangerous animal. If you curse your parents, death penalty. Kidnapping, death penalty. Smiting parents, death penalty. Eating leaven during the Passover week, death penalty. Failure to circumcise, death penalty. Murder, death penalty. Sodomy or homosexuality, death penalty. Now, that's pretty wild. Can you finally get it in your heads to accept the death of this vessel? Can you finally get it in your heads that going inward for anything is sin? Can you finally get in the heads that taking a stand on any issue is worthy of death? Do you understand what I'm talking about, really? What's happening with you? Talk to me.
I don't understand about eating the fat of those things.
But... eating the fat of the sacrifice?
Yeah.
I wish we'd study peace offerings in here, in the offerings. Where are you, Mr. Getzloff?
Well, it's sober. I don't know. It's sober. It's like, you hear a list like that, but I think the only one that I'm not completely guilty of is being negligent with a dangerous animal. So I'm probably guilty of that, too, at some point. So it's not really a leg to stand.
I had a small taste of this in the military, where there were certain things that were required. I mean, obviously, the death penalty wasn't the punishment, but you just didn't break the rule, whatever. For instance, being late for a mission was—I never saw anybody do it, and I never did it. In 5 years, I never saw it happen. I mean, it's just verboten. You know, some of those laws feel like that. They're small things that you could easily break. And do great, and the consequences are very high. It makes you nervous. I mean, I would always set 3 alarm clocks and crazy stuff like that.
Well, let me give you an example. Like, you know, in Norway, if you're caught drunk driving, you lose your license forever. Your car is impounded. You can never again drive in Norway. First offense. They have zero drunk driving in Norway. In Saudi Arabia, if you're caught with any kind of a drug whatsoever, it's a death penalty. I mean, they don't have any drug problems in Saudi Arabia. If you knew the law, you would rush to the cross. You would look at the cross of Christ and the terms of discipleship as an easy burden. But since you don't know the terms of the law, you think of discipleship as a burden to you. And it affects you, and it makes you uncomfortable, and it's bad, and oh, and it's bad, and it's this, and it's that. Discipleship is the only answer. You hear me? It's discipleship or death. That's all there is. If you accept this book, that's all there is. But if you give in to and grudgingly agree to things and still worship them in your mind, then you're dead while you walk. It's called leprosy. Walking death. Living death. Condemned to be forever alone. Condemned to be always non-spontaneous, because if you're spontaneous, you might expose yourself. Go to Luke. Chapter 17. See, you understand why Pharisees love dispensationalism? Why you love to believe that when certain signs occur, then the end will come. Then things will happen, and then the kingdom of God will take place. Do you understand that? So, when certain things occur, then I will begin to believe this stuff. That's what you all say in your minds. It's like Harry's dreams about, well, there's atomic bombs, but they're way over there. Well, it's not way over there. That's what Jesus said. Verse 20, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, that's what you do by delaying obedience. You're demanding of the you're demanding God when the kingdom of God should come, because you're in effect you're delaying your obedience by expecting something to take place. Do you understand me? In other words, the reason you don't believe tonight is you think there will be tomorrow. If you knew there would be no tomorrow, you would believe tonight. If you knew there was no tomorrow, tonight would be spent in joy. Do you understand? This moment would be joy, but since you think there's a tomorrow, you delay everything. You delay obedience. You delay joy. You delay spontaneity. You delay your life. Therefore, you have no life, because delayed life is no life. You're just walking dead people. He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, or not by observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's already finished within you. It's already done. It's already completed. It's only your obstinance, your presumptuousness, where you're elevating yourself above the kingdom of God. You understand what that means? Because nobody would be dumb enough to elevate themselves above the kingdom of God, would they?
Seeing all this on that tonight, in terms of being a God is establishing expectations and the way things ought to be.
That's God.
Just drilling me. Ideas of, I don't even know where these ideas come from, a lot of them. You know, where this value system comes from, no idea. But it's just, that's the way it is, because I think that's the way it's supposed to be.
You've established your own world. You're the God of your own world.
It's convenient, it's cozy, but there's no basis in it.
It's nothing. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, or not by observation, or cometh not visibly. Your senses will never know the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? All things continue as they were from the very beginning, and will until the very end. What the lesson tonight is Sodom and Gomorrah. The people in Sodom and Gomorrah had no idea what was about to hit them. Do you understand that? It hit them in an instant. The people of Noah's time had no idea the flood. See, the flood was more gentle. At least it was, you know, it lasted a few days, and they could swim around on a raft they made. But look at what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was instant destruction. Just like today. People were running around doing their own thing. And the people that were allegedly believers were the same way. They were presumptuous in their mind. They were guilty of the presumptuous sin because they had elevated themselves above the kingdom of God by their likes and dislikes. The kingdom of God cometh not visibly. Neither shall I say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. In other words, anybody that tells you that you go, can you imagine? I was thinking about this. Can you imagine that we have to go to a meeting somewhere? Or we have to go external to us to get anything? I mean, I can't think of anything more ludicrous to me. Maybe it's because I'm a teacher, but I can't imagine going to somebody to get... You understand, I'm going to go over here and hear an evangelist speak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where did that guy get that? Where has it been tested? Where is it anything?
Yeah.
It's got to be here among me or among this thing. I'm not interested.
Yeah, I don't care if Jesus Christ himself came down and if he's advertising over there, I'm not going to go over there because I know it's not Jesus Christ. It's a false thing. Do you understand? Don't go here or go there. The kingdom of God is within you. They shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. Whereas the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth into the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Understand? That day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. Huh?
I can't believe they even used that word.
Stuff?
His stuff.
Oh, yeah.
George Carlin, right there.
Yeah. No, it was Bill Cosby. Let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Now we're going to see. That's why I want you to hear what Christ said about Sodom and Gomorrah before we study it, okay? Whosoever shall seek to save his life, anything about his life. Tonight, is there anything worth saving in your life? Is there anything worth protecting? Is there any ideology? Is there any system of circumstances worth protecting in your life? Do you hear me? If you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. Hear me. The lesson of Sodom and Gomorrah is the lesson of Lot and his family. If there was one thing in their life that they sought to protect or save, they stayed in Sodom. That's a spiritual lesson. It's for us that you don't stay there. Hear me, there is not one thing in your life that's worth protecting. If there is, negotiate with me. Let's talk about it. I don't want to see you left behind. Do you understand me? If there's something worth protecting, talk to me about it. Your silence is a witness against you.
This line, remember Lot's wife, this really hit me. This is the dream I had the other night when I dreamt that I saw myself as a pillar of salt in the rain. Came and the rain just washed away the pillar of salt.
Yep. All that Lot's wife did is she looked back. She looked back longingly, like there was something she missed. And then an instant. Verse 34, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. I mean, it's that quick. You understand? Boom. They answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered. It's one of the most mysterious scriptures in the universe. I love it. Wherever the body is, there shall the eagles be gathered. It refers to the signs of the zodiac, remember? There's no snakes. There's no evil one. There's no tempter because the eagles are where the body is. Let's go to Luke 9. Luke 9, verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now all of these discipleship parables and the instancy of them refer in every way, in one way or another, to Sodom and Gomorrah as the lesson. That's what I want you to have in your mind, okay? Let's go back to Genesis now. 19. Let me tell you a little bit about Sodom and Gomorrah. The Sodomites were among the richest of the nations of all that have ever existed. In the area where they are, it's really weird. Sodom and Gomorrah are here. See this word Zoar? Z-O-A-R?
No.
Okay, well, there's a city right there. It's called Zoar. There's a dot where my little finger is. Okay. Trust me. Okay, Sodom and Gomorrah were in this part of the Dead Sea. They're under this part of the Dead Sea here. There were five cities. Sodom and Gomorrah were here, and then two other cities, which I can't pronounce. I can tell you.
Has anything been recovered from
that? Oh, no. But they've found references to these cities of the plain before Sodom and Gomorrah, before the Dead Sea. I mean, they found references to Sodom and Gomorrah and these other two cities, which I can't find right now, and Zoar in the tablets of Elba, which they found in Syria, they found a library of 17,000 cuneiform tablets.
Those are the five guys we studied for a while ago?
No, the five names of the This the cities of the plain.
Yeah, but those are the ones we just
know. No. Okay, here it is. Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, and Zeboim. So the five cities of the plain are called Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma was here, and Zeboim was here. Zoar was just a little village. In the Hebrew, it could mean either little or it could mean it's the same root word of where God remembers. So it's Zakar in the Hebrew. So Some say that it's named Zohar because it's little, and some say it's named because it has the same, without the vowel points, as to cause you to remember something. Okay? But it's in this place. This is where, I mean, there's salt down to 18,000 feet. There's American oil companies drilling there for salt now. There's probably enough mineral wealth in there to pay for Egypt's national debt and America's, if we could get it out. There's without question there's gold and other precious metals that are in the sea, and they're doing, Israel, even as we are speaking, is doing all kinds of things to try to get the metals out, molybdenum and all kinds of wild stuff. The Midrash, the Talmud stories say if they dug for potatoes, they found gold beneath the roots, and that's the kind of wealth. Wealth above wealth. But the Sodomites never gave so much as a crumb to a stranger. The women would even pull the fig trees so the birds could not eat fruit hanging out of their reach. Sodom was secure against attack. It was because of its where it was and the way it was walled, it wasn't anybody could get to them. Yet to discourage strangers, they passed a law that whosoever offered strangers even a morsel of bread should be burned alive. Instead, any stranger must be robbed of everything, then flung from the gates of the city, stark naked.
Man, that's not what I call hospitality.
Once a year, they held a four-day feast at the time of the spring equinox. And it was total sexual license. There was, whether it was with animals or with relatives or anybody else, I mean, it was just massive orgy. Near the gate of the city, beds were placed at the gate for strangers, allegedly. But they were for measuring strangers. If a man was shorter than the bed, they would stretch him to fit. If longer than the bed, they forced his head downward and his legs upward until he, in his death agony, he was crying. And then they said, "Peace, this is an ancient custom here." In the city of Admah, which was, again, supposed to be over here, near Sodom, a rich man's daughter lived. One day a traveler sat down near her door. She fetched him bread and water. The city judges then had her stripped naked, smeared with honey, and laid beside a wild bee's nest. The bees stung her to death. It was her cries that prompted God's destruction of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboim. Others say it was because of a woman named Palti. She was the oldest daughter of Lot. She gave an old man a drink of water, and she was dragged to the stake. Lot's wife's name Lot's wife's name was Edith. If you know any Ediths. Okay? Now let's read about Lot. And there came two angels to Sodom. Now these two angels are who? We were just with Abraham.
Raphael, one of them.
And Gabriel. Is it Gabriel?
Gabriel came to announce.
Yeah. No. No, Gabriel came to destroy Sodom. Okay, but anyway, the two angels are they're archangels, Raphael and Gabriel. All right. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, now remember what I just said. Lot said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, again, this was at Passover. And this was, Lot was celebrating the Passover with his wife and two daughters and the angels, while outside in the street they were having this four-day licentious celebration with total drunkenness. It happened every spring, 4 days, in the middle of Passover. You got it?
So Lot knew these were angels?
Lot knew there was something up.
What
Lot has just done, he has just broken Sodom's rules about, and he is now subject to the death penalty for what he just did. Do you understand? By their laws. All right. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Now, the reason they said from every quarter is because, and they said each, the word quarter isn't, it means from each section, but the city was laid out in sections, so all the people that were bakers lived in one section, all the people that did, you know, it was laid out by course, and I want to. It was the picture of your high. It was a picture of all high place activity. It was laid out by courses. The course of the high place structure. Okay. It was orderly, by their definition. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." Now. Again, the Talmud says that these two angels were, they had never seen anything this good looking in their whole lives. The angels were perfect in facial beauty and structure. So it inflamed, they were so, the perfection flamed their drunken lust. They've been drunk for 4 days, yeah, these guys. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Now that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. That's a good place to stop. We'll continue. You get the sense that things are getting narrower and narrower and narrower? Take a big guy.